As we like to do most Sundays, we will be taking the Lord's table this morning. That is a celebration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It encompasses a remembrance of his payment for our sins at the cross, his conquering of death in the resurrection, his ascension and intercession on our behalf, and it is a look forward to his return. And we like to open a passage of Scripture to remind ourselves of these truths. And this morning, I'd like to open to Isaiah chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible this morning, we'd like to put one in your hands. Some men are going to come forward and distribute Bibles. And if you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to keep this so that you can read God's Word for yourself. In the distribution Bibles this morning, Isaiah 28 can be found on page 634. I want to read this passage together. This is an Old Testament passage about the cornerstone we just sung about, the cornerstone who was the sacrificial substitute to pay for our sins to bring us to God. Here's Isaiah 28, beginning in verse 14. "Therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, O scoffers, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, 'We have cut a covenant with death, and with the grave we have made a pact.' The overflowing scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have hidden ourselves with lying. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed, and he who believes will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of falsehood, and the waters will overflow that secret place. Your covenant with death will be canceled, and your pact with the grave will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will become its trampling place." This is a rather shocking passage for a number of reasons. Here in Isaiah 28, God is addressing hypocritical religious leaders. These are people who think they know the way to God, but they don't know God. They have Bibles, they have truths, they have a position of authority over people, but they are called in verse 14 not only rulers, but scoffers. Scoffers is a derogatory term, an indictment from God about the true condition of their heart. They're not on God's side. They exercised authority over the people, but God was not their authority. But what Isaiah says here about these hypocritical religious leaders actually accurately addresses all of the human condition. Notice in verse 17, there is a standard that God upholds. He says, "I will make justice the measuring line. I will make righteousness the level." And here we come face to face with the fundamental human problem, the problem that we all have. God has a measuring line, a level, a standard, which is perfect justice and perfect righteousness. And you and I know that we cannot meet that. We already have not met it, and there's nothing we can do to make up for it. We are already lawbreakers. We have failed at God's standard. His standard matches his own flawless character, and none of us meets it. And notice in verse 15, there is a human solution to this human predicament. It's not a good solution. Isaiah says of these religious folk, "You have said, 'We've cut a covenant with death, and with the grave we've made a pact. The overflowing scourge will not reach us when it passes by, because we have made falsehood our refuge, and we've hidden ourselves with lies.'" That's a strange boast. God's standard is here, but we've made a deal with the grave. I have talked to death, and I'm okay with that. I've made a deal with the devil. Man's solution to man's problem is some sort of self-made agreement with the end and with coming judgment, some futile attempt to survive the consequences of sin. And notice in verse 15 that Isaiah puts words in the mouth that the scoffers themselves wouldn't say, but that is truly the truth. Listen, nobody who's made a deal with the devil, made their own way to get to God apart from God's ways, nobody would ever say this out loud. The overflowing scourge won't reach me because I've made lies my hiding place. No one admits to that kind of thing out loud, but that is the reality, and Isaiah puts the truth on their lips, speaking for them, as it were. It's really a remarkable statement. The universal problem of humanity is sin and death and the standard we could never meet. And those who reject God's solution, put their own solution in God's place, do in fact trust in lies. And this is part of the disease of humanity. We can't solve our sin problem. We reject God's solution and put anything else in its place, any religion, any tradition, any self-effort. And it's all lies. What is the result? Verse 17, the hail, the coming judgment, will sweep away your refuge like the big bad wolf blowing down the straw house. It won't stand. You're packed with Sheol, verse 18, you're packed with the grave, won't stand. Why will an agreement with the grave not stand? Because death and the grave and any deal with the devil is only lies. They won't keep their promises. When the scourge comes, verse 18 says, you will be its trampling place. It really is a hopeless solution. We're in a mighty predicament and we have no tools to get ourselves out of it. But God's solution is here, right in the middle in verse 16. Look down there. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly planted. He who believes in it, or he who believes, will not be disturbed. A cornerstone in the world of ancient construction was the most critical piece of the building. It was the precisely cut stone laid as the corner of the foundation. Everything else was built upon it and depended upon it. The cornerstone here is a metaphor for the precisely cut stone that would be the foundation of God's redemptive plan. The cornerstone is the only solid foundation for a life, the only refuge from God's coming judgment. And Jesus is God's Son. He is the Messiah. He is the cornerstone. He's the only foundation to get redemption. He's the only foundation to build a life on that will not be exposed as a lie on the day of judgment. He is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. No one gets to God except by him. How can Jesus Christ be the cornerstone of salvation? How can he be the cornerstone of your life? Because when he came to the earth, he died as a substitute on that cross. He became the sin bearer. It's what we just sang. My sins were placed upon him so that he would get credit for my crimes against God and so that I would get credit for his perfect righteousness. I could not meet God's standard by anything in me. I only get God's standard by God's provision of that standard as a gift. It's all of grace. And that grace only comes by Jesus Christ at the cross. The men can come forward now. They're going to distribute some symbols. A little piece of bread and some juice in a cup. And the bread and the cup are symbols of Jesus' blood and his body. When you receive these, hold on to them for a moment. We're going to take them together. There's going to be a few moments of silence. Thank you. And this silence is intended for you to take stock of your own life, to examine your own heart. It's an opportunity for believers to think about this past week or even this morning and think about the residual sin that still affects us, the sins that we still commit, and to think about the fact that Jesus Christ on the cross paid for completely every single sin of every believer in him, past, present, and future. And so our task is to think about what Jesus did for us, to pay for our sins, to remove them as far as the east is from the west, to make that which was as scarlet white as snow. So Christian, think about your sins for a moment and think about what Jesus did to actually pay for them for longer than a moment. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, let me just encourage you not to take of the Lord's table. This is for believers. This is for those who have experienced forgiveness of sins, who have surrendered their lives to Christ and are now eating and drinking in memory of what he has done and in anticipation of his return. Now listen, if you're not in Christ yet, and maybe that plate came and you took one of those, this is a great opportunity for you to think about your life before God. Even this very moment, if you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ and believe that he finished the payment for your sins, you could be a new creature even this day. Let me encourage you to surrender to Christ. And if you do that, please partake in memory and anticipation. But if you would refuse to surrender to Christ, just set it aside. This is for those who belong to him. Take a few moments now and pray. Confess your sins. Rejoice in the forgiveness of God in Christ. And then we'll take this together in a moment.